So basically, had they not meddled in my business, this would have turned out, this whole thing would have turned out completely different. If they would have just left me alone, let me get on the water and sand, build the building, put the tenants in there. You know, I could have had that rented out. I could have rented out the muffler shop. I could have sold the muffler shop. I could have subdivided that. Could have done a lot of things. But basically, what all this is going to prove when it's all over with, if it's ever all over with, which I doubt, it's going to prove, I hope it's going to prove to people that meddling in your neighbor's business is destructive for the most part. It's going to come back to haunt you. Or it can, I should say. It can come back to haunt you. And it can come back to haunt you in spades. And the only person you have to blame is yourself. And that's one thing I found up here. You know, they've blamed the FDIC for so many of their problems. So many people up here are blamers. They are not responsible. They are not accountable. And that's the only way they can survive. And that's bad, because that is just continually transferred generation after generation. The way the city operates, you know, it's just nothing ever gets better unless something drastic happens. And basically, that's what's going to happen. So anyway, the other thing I was going to say was that I found out this even after, right around, I suppose, in 2000 sometime. This was after I'd found out what the sanitation scam had been, when they hid from me my ability to get on, or kept it from me. I also found out in about the year 2000 that in the fall of 1991, before I ever even came to Grand County, that this plan to put this concrete plant was already going into place. And I didn't know about this until 2000. But in 1991 in the fall, Gus Harris and Cody Docheff and the powers that be, the Thompsons' motivation was to get rid of Cody because he was just a pig and such a little man complex. Ah, this guy was, I mean, he's Mr. Napoleon all the way, in the worst way. The guy just couldn't deal with the fact that he was little. And it definitely depraved the man. I mean, the guy is really psychological. He needs some psychological help. But anyway, they had gone to the town and rezoned Gus Harris's two acres, which is directly south of my muffler shop. They did this under protest, which is in the minutes, from the owner of the Broken Arrow Motel, which was straight south of where the project was, where the rezoning was. And, you know, I don't know if he didn't know it, or, you know, if they were counting on the public to be stupid, or if they were counting on the fact that nobody had any money, that they'd be able to protest this in court. But the town went and spot zoned the 2 acres directly south of me, which was illegal in Colorado. They had changed the HGB zoning on that 2 acres to industrial. And because no one protested it within 30 days, it became law that they could do that. And therein lies a big problem. When I came along and, you know, inadvertently bought this 2 acres, their plans were that Cody was going to buy this 2 acres and he'd go to the town and convert it to industrial, because now it adjoined industrial property that they had approved already. So now it was no longer spot zoning, but, you know, approving it next to industrial zoning, and would be, they were going to get away with it. And they were going to be able to put this concrete plant right there next to all those houses downwind of the town, so that the town would end up getting all this dust again. And you know, that they had the concrete on the north side of the County Road 612, And the neighbors, I mean, they just hated it up there. But now they were going to just do it all over again. And the main reason was Cody's motivation for doing it in 91 was because of water, I believe. His main reason in doing it in 2000 or 99 or whenever it was to get back at Mark. It wasn't water anymore. He didn't get the message. And that message, again, I say, is, you know, God was telling those people. I didn't know these people. Out of the blue, here I am buying this property. No malice towards anyone. Why didn't they get the message that they should not have put the concrete plant in town ever? Very subtle. This is just normal competition. You go to an auction and somebody outbids you. He would have been mad at anybody. Cody would have been mad at anybody who would have bought the property. Anybody. But you got to go there with enough money. Otherwise, you're the problem. It's your fault that this happened, not mine. You know, you can blame me all you want. You can blame the FDIC. That isn't the problem. You have got to learn to get over it and move on. But no, you sat there and plotted with the Thompsons to keep me down, to not allow me onto the water and sewer district, to not sell me that property, to sell it to Cody, to do this stuff, and to get even with me. You developed malice towards me. I never had any malice towards you. Like I said, I tried to sell Cody the property the day I bought it in the spring of 92. I tried to sell it to him in 97 for $250,000. In 99, I had another estimate or appraisal done. Tried to sell it to him then for the appraisal price of $395,000. Wilson endowed it, or Wilson did this again, this reappraisal. He still would not come to me with a counteroffer. How many times do you have to try to deal with a man? I mean, we had talked about this. Not these were three formal times, as far as I'm concerned. You know, there were many other times when he had, you know, we had a chance to discuss it. You know, come on, Cody, buy the property. We didn't discuss any price or anything, but, you know, come on, Cody, be reasonable. But that's what you cannot do with people in the mountains, especially in Granby. They do not know what reason is. Reason to them is doing it their way. And that's the only thing. Once they get that in their mind, that's the only thing that's reasonable. Well, I've developed that philosophy to a point, maybe even to a higher point, because I am going to be unreasonable to the extent that although they've probably cost me $500,000 or more, I know it's been more. I can make it easily $300,000. That's based on my figures. My bookkeeper, who was Mark Krieg, felt that it cost me $500,000. My accountant, Dave Patner, in Granby, both these people are in Granby, felt that it cost me $1,000,000 for what the town had done to me, what the Thompsons had done to me, what the Dolchester had done to me, and what the sanitation district had done to me. That is a lot of money. And that is more money than any man should bear to lose or to not make, or however you want to look at it. I want to say right now, if I would have been married, had a family, you know, things may have gone different. But God built me for this job. He rewarded me for 45, 50 years with the lifestyle that I am so thankful for. And it's unfortunate, the poor people in Granby, so many of them were so jealous of my lifestyle that I could come and go as I pleased. Well, God blessed me in advance for the task that I am about to undertake. And you know, I've tossed this, I mean, I have fought this for years now. Here it is, 2004, April of 2004. It was sometime in 2001, I believe. And I mean, I'm six. 2000 or 2001. That the peace, I mean, I wept at times trying to understand why this was happening to me. And to do what I had to do to make these people listen, to learn, was just above me. And when I realized that one day, when I was sitting in the hot tub, and I mean I was weeping, a peace came over me that has only come over me a few times before in my life, where I knew that what I was doing was tough, but it was the right thing, and that it was above me. It wasn't me. I was doing this because God wanted me to do it. And I didn't understand it. I said, why did you ask me to do this? Is that why I've never been married, so I didn't have a family? Is that why I've always been successful, so that I would realize my reward before doing this task? I don't know. There are other things I can ask. Had I not carried my cross earlier, and now God had prepared me to carry this cross? I believe so. And I'm carrying the cross willingly now. At first, I fought it. But it has to be done. And the world will write stories about how wrong I am and everything. And without a doubt, I wish it could be done a different way. But there is no way to make this right. I spent one day here in the spring of 2003. The Thompson brothers were down below my house here in Grand Lake digging a foundation for a house. One day I had some happened to go down out the driveway, and Larry Thompson was standing out by his truck by himself, so I drove up to him and had a few words with him. Basically what I told him was that, you know, Larry, I actually called him Ron first. He says, Ron's dead. And I says, I'm sorry, Larry. And I says, but listen, maybe it's good that Ron's dead. Because, you know, no, no, it isn't, he said. And I says, well, I says, you know, about in 1992, your family made some decisions that financially affected my life for the rest of my life. And I can't afford it. And it cost me at least a minimum of $300,000. And I says, you need to pay me. And he says, what are you talking about? I basically told him, I said, don't play ignorant with me. And he shut right up. He says, you know what I'm talking about. I says, your family made those decisions, and I'm referring to the ones where they kept me off, where Ron Thompson kept me off the sanitation district. I said, you know about that. And I says, you owe me. And I says, I want $300,000 from you. And he says, it'll never happen. And I says, well, I says, I guarantee you, Larry, I'm going to collect. I says, it's a duty I have. I says, I basically can't call myself a man if I don't make this right. And I says, Ron died, and I think of all the money that he got, that you inherited, because he died from your father's estate, that you had all inherited, I think that you ought to probably pay me with that. And he says, not going to happen. And I says, well, I am going to collect. And I drove away. I got about four or five truck lengths away. And he basically confirmed in my mind right there that he knew what I was talking about. And he knew what had been done. Because he had one thing to say. He screamed it at me as I'm about five truck lengths away. He screamed, you can suck my dick. And I stopped the truck and I laughed out loud and I told him, I says, that will never happen. Well, when someone is that frustrated that they've got to say something like that, you know, they know. You could tell it in the tone of his voice. You could tell it by what he said. You could tell it by the way he acted. He's a cowardly bastard. He's a Catholic. And I think they are some of the biggest cowards I have ever met. I've known it for years. They have a different idea. They read from a different Bible. And they believe, I truly believe, that they believe the only way that they can stay on top and give the Pope his money and all this stuff is to keep their neighbor down. There is no building to the Catholics to their neighbor. They don't believe in encouraging their neighbor. And that's sad. That's so wrong. I never ran into anyone, other than in my small town when I was a kid, where everybody's always backstabbing you in a small community. But I lived in Denver. I had shop in Commerce City, one in Aurora, one in Inglewood, one in Lakewood. I had one shop in Boulder. I never felt that someone was, you know, intentionally working against me. You know, you got employees who are lazy when you're not watching them. They're just screwing off. But, you know, that's employees. I never had anybody sit there and plan to cut me out of an opportunity to make money, like the Thompsons did when they denied me access to the West Sanitation District. Had they not done that, I can assure you, the outcome, the concrete plant, the whole thing would have been completely different. I'm not saying I'd have been that much happier, but I would have never found out that they tried to fuck me. If they would have let me alone, I wouldn't have had this righteous anger that I have towards the Thompsons, their hierarchy, their attitude that they have left in that community for so many years that has spread and like a cancer through that community, and so many people think like they do. Screw your neighbor. If they had stayed out of my business, the outcome, when they started that concrete plant, look at what would have been there. I would have had a building built in 93 that would have had renters in it for 7 years, from 93 until 99, 2000. Till today, maybe. You know, maybe the renters would have all moved out because of the dust. I would have had, if that would have been their feeling, they would have been on my side. We would have protested harder. Maybe the town council would have listened. But because the town council had gone to the effort in 91 to rezone that property, and I had screwed up the town's plans, the town had a hard-on for Marv Hemeyer. They didn't stop and think. Marv didn't have any malice towards us. This is a sign to not do this. No, they kept it in their hardened hearts and said, we'll get him. And they started getting me in 1992 when they kept me off the sanitation district. They started getting me when Gus Harris would not sell the property to me. They got me when Gus Harris sold the property to Cody Dolcheff. They got me when they issued the building permit to Cody Dolcheff for the concrete plant and denied that it was for the concrete plant, although everybody knows it was because it is the concrete plant today. Look at September 7th, 2000 issue of the Sky High News, where that concrete foundation was. That's their building. Are we all stupid? Come on. They knew. And when I would ask them these questions, which you won't find in the minutes, they would just shut right up. They'd stonewall you. They didn't have an answer. Neither did I. I mean, I have an answer, because I was giving them the answer, and I'd shoot the truth in their face, and they couldn't deal with it. And I'm sorry, they're going to have to deal with it. I guarantee you, I am going to make them deal with it. It is my duty. God has asked me to do this. You know, you can call it revenge. I don't know. I don't doubt that there is. I stop and think. We as human beings, we can put up with doing without unbelievably too much. And I've heard that from motivational speakers. I've read it in books, seen it in seminars where people would talk about that. It's amazing how much we are willing to do without. You know, I sold the property for $400,000. I mean, I had to pay taxes on it, which I did. But I stuck, you know, $360,000 in my pocket. You know? I didn't stick it in my pocket. I gave it away. You know, it's gone. Because now money means nothing to me. I've given my house away. I do not need this cabin here in Grand Lake. I've given my snowmobiles. I've given those away this year. Everything is gone. What I own is just going to be a pittance compared to what I'm going to take. But hopefully, hopefully the community will learn something from this and become wiser. And instead of hating their neighbor and keeping your neighbor down, they will love your neighbor. You know, there may not be a lot of love here, because you can look at it and say, it's coming from me. I've developed malice towards these people.
I couldn't live with myself the rest of my life if I didn't have a plan to make this right. I feel pretty worthless. And I know I probably shouldn't, but to know that for 10 years, the people in the town of Granby did not want me there. And the fact that I was making good money by the 99, within, you know, 6 years after I started that business, that I was making a pretty good income, I'm sure made them very jealous. I'm sure everything about me made them jealous. I'm sorry that they felt that way. That is a bad thing, way to feel. You know, I wasn't trying to keep up with the Joneses, I know. And maybe, I say that, maybe that's not true. I was always trying to be the Joneses. Do it my way. Look at me. See what I do. This is what I've done. You all have the opportunity to do what I've done. I haven't done much. I mean, I graduated from high school to 28th of my class of 29. It's no big deal. I wasn't intelligent. I wasn't smart. I wasn't stupid. But I wasn't educated. I didn't have the knack to sit in a classroom and be a bookworm. I don't know why. I may have. I don't know why. But God built me maybe clear back in the fourth grade when I broke my arm. Because that's when my grade started falling off. I don't know. He had this planned clear back then. Maybe, if you believe in predestination, which I do, maybe it was planned before I was born. I don't know. I don't understand predestination that much, but I do believe in it. So here we are, and I am at peace with what I am about to do. I have to be. And although I've wrestled with it for years, and, you know, God gave me this last winter off again because he knew that I wasn't strong, and that was so unique that this didn't get done last year. How the sale of the business kind of interrupted my progress on my my Mars Komatsu. What did I call it? I got a name for it. Oh, my MK tank. That I didn't get the old MK tank done last fall is amazing, because it should have happened. But, you know, God has his timing, his plans made out, and they're to be. And it looks like it's going to be. Because the one thing that I have wanted to do is get caught. I had hoped that somebody would catch me and that this whole thing would stop. And that would be a good sign for me not to do it. I haven't played the lottery a lot, but I've hoped that I would win the lottery. And I could forget this whole thing. I could move on, because then I would have my $300,000 and I would have my life back, and I could live the way I want to live. But, you know, I had that money. This cabin was bought and paid for free. I didn't have a rental payment. People will say that, why did he do that? He had such a good life. He had a better life than me anyway. Well, I can understand that to a point. It's not what I deserve. You meddled in my business and took what I deserved away. You took advantage of my good nature. Well, I think there's something you should learn here. For as good as a man can be, also can he be as bad. And another thing you should learn is that when you visit evil upon someone, be assured it will revisit you. And that is what is happening. It is a good thing. Because I think the community of Granby will be stronger. I think that they will understand after years, if they ever hear this tape, if they ever hear the truth, if they're ever willing to listen. That was one thing that the council would not do, ever. They were not, because they knew that they were going to have this concrete plant. Everything that I or the 50 or 80 people that were at those meetings initially, they would fall on deaf ears. because I was the only one, the one person, I should say, that was going to be adversely affected so negatively by the impact of this concrete plant. I stood there and fought till the end. I spent the money. I let that attorney Dietza milk me because I was fearful. I was weak. Understood. I spent the money. I fought the good fight. To come to realize that I had to do what I have to do now. It's a sad, sad way to do it. But it's a cross that I'm going to carry. And I'm carrying it in God's name, I believe. I truly believe this. I would have been caught. Something would have happened. I mean, there's still some time left. It still may not happen. It could be that the day it does start, the machine quits before I even get out of the building. It may quit right after I get out of the building. It may quit halfway through what I want to do. You know? And that's where it's supposed to stop. Because God will have stopped it. I believe that that machine, other than sometimes that it won't go in gear, I haven't figured that out yet, but I'm hoping that, that's only happened a couple of times, and then all of a sudden by itself it went into gear. So I don't know what the problem is there, but that could be a very critical problem that stops me. There's just so many things I've hoped for that I wouldn't have to do this, but I'm here today, the 13th of April, 2004, and we're moving on, and I'm trying to make this tape and be done with it. Anyway, I need to digress here a little bit. The town, you know, the people that were on the boards, the Peterson lady, you know, she'd been on that board for so long. She knew the history, what the town wanted. She knew the history of the FDIC. They had so many people on that board. The fat lady that owned the flower shop or whatever she owned. I can't even remember her name. Casey at Gamble's. So many of those people had these sentiments towards the FDIC, which had been permeating the community since the FDIC did what they did. And here I am, a beneficiary of the FDIC, and they were definitely out to get their feelings, appeased, you know? Which is something else, you know. Wrongly. For years, I tried to appease Cody Dochev's misguided anger. I tried to talk to him. I tried to be friendly towards him. Talk to his kid. I bought every bit of concrete, which turned out to be shit. He ripped me off on that concrete so bad. But, you know, I tried to buy all my concrete from the guy, and, you know, I had no malice towards this man or any person in Granby, and yet they had to do this to me. And for what was their guys? The sales tax, the increased amount of sales tax revenue. And I tried to explain to them, you don't have that much sales tax here for the detriment that you're causing to the community. All of the products are delivered, most of the products are delivered out in the county. And I says, you're going to sell infiltrators right here in town. People are going to come up and pick up some manholes. Might even pick up a septic system once in a while. Who knows? They're going to pick up, what? Maybe 5% of the business? Okay. What is that for what you're causing the downgrading of the community, of the motels? Now we got a motel with concrete plant on one side. Before we had it with just the railroad tracks, waking everybody up at night, going back and forth. Okay, you know, sometimes you're going to get a motel like this. Now you got one with a fucking concrete plant with absolutely no hours of operation restrictions, you know, other than what the federal government, you know, guidelines are imposed, you know, which is everybody. But those concrete plants are not in the center of town. They're out in the country for the most part. Only their malice, their resentment towards the outsiders, was their motive for making sure that that concrete got in town. And it's just uncanny. The after it got started, how I tried to stop it, how every time I did, I failed. It told me one thing, that God wanted these people to learn. And he knew that I eventually would get to the point where I wouldn't put up with what they were taking away from me, for what they had denied me. God knew Marv Heemeyer very well. He put me up here. God knew Marv Heemeyer very well. He put me up here.